الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا سبحان ربك رب العزة أما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. Over the past couple of weeks, we've been speaking about the importance of clearing an environment of the evil effects before being able to establish something good. The example that we began with at the very initial lecture was the concept of reading أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم before one begins to engage the Holy Quran. And in the context of that, I mentioned that one of the Mufassirin has mentioned that a benefit of reading أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم before engaging with the Quran is to highlight that one of the key ways by which an individual can benefit from something good begins with removing the negative or the evil from the environment. So, in particular, as I shared a couple weeks back, you would think that when a person picks up the Holy Quran and makes an intention to recite the Holy Quran, that they wouldn't have to do much more because they simply have already accepted that this is a very powerful book and this book can change my life and it can guide me and it can grow me. And so you would think, why would a person need to recite أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم? Obviously, if they pick up the book, they're already recognizing that they need to focus on Allah and they're appreciating that shaitan is something that needs to be distant, you know, one needs to distance themselves from. But what's highlighted here is that even in such a powerful positive action, such as reciting the Holy Quran, we're still commanded to recite أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم to show that before we can even take benefit, and one of the most important things that we can do before we establish such a positive interaction is to first clear the environment of anything negative. So when we say أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, we're essentially distancing ourselves from shaitan and running to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala seeking refuge in Him from any potential evil whispering thought environment so that everything is cleared in order for us to build a positive engagement with the Quran. Now that's just one example, but last week, I shared another example, which is the whole notion of the need for purity in order to be able to build something positive. The need for purity in order to be able to build something positive. So, for example, again, just giving a similar concept with the Holy Quran, when a person wants to engage with the Holy Quran, one of the prerequisites for that is that they need to be in a state of purity. That purity creates the foundation upon which the engagement with the Quran is built. Take another example. When a person wants to make tawaf of the house of Allah, one of the prerequisites for making tawaf of the house of Allah is that a person needs to be in a state of purity and in a state of wudu. And by being in that state, it forms the foundation upon which all of the amazing benefits of tawaf can be appreciated. Take another example. When a person wants to engage with salah, salah is a key pillar of our deen. And if a person wants to engage with salah, of course, as we're all aware, not only do they need to be in a state of purity, but the ground needs to be pure that they're about to pray on, the clothing that they're wearing needs to be pure. So we learn from many different examples this general principle, and that is that purity is the foundation upon which positive engagements are built. Purity is the foundation upon which positive engagements are built. Now this week, what I want to do is just highlight that purity is also the way by which we protect ourselves against negative consequences. So last week we talked about positive engagements. Let's talk about negative consequences. And I just want to give one example. So again, we don't belabor this talk, but just this one example traces back to something that we mentioned a few Saturdays ago at the Maintaining Mental Health seminar that we had. And in that seminar, we presented some basic principles concerning the maintenance of mental health. But at the end, we presented a few cases. And the purpose of the cases was to illustrate the principles that we had established during the seminar, and also to sort of build on some of the things that we had mentioned during that program. In one of those cases, we gave an example of an individual who was experiencing some signs and symptoms of being obsessive and compulsive, particularly about their wudu and salah. And we mentioned also that the parents of that individual had made an assumption or presumption that this consequence that the child was undergoing was actually due to the effect of the evil eye. Now, you know, just to recap, you know, that circumstance, one thing I'd like to just say as a reminder from that program, and that is that the evil eye is certainly a reality. The evil eye, which, you know, we can translate that as sort of the envy of the world, that certainly is a reality. And the reason we know it's a reality is because the Prophet ﷺ told us so. There's a hadith in the book of Imam Muslim in which the Prophet ﷺ, he says, "Al-aynu haq," that the evil eye is true. Now, interestingly, when you read this, this narration, there's two more things that are mentioned in that particular narration, both of which are very, very eye-opening. The first, of course, the first sentence of that narration, al-aynu haq, that the evil eye, the eye of envy, we can say, is true. But then the Prophet ﷺ continues and he highlights the power of the evil eye. And he says, if there was anything that could overrun the decree of Allah, it would be the evil eye. If there was anything that could overrun the decree of Allah, it would be the evil eye. Highlighting that the envy of an individual and the negative, feelings that a person can have towards another, particularly when it's predicated in envy and hate and spite, that is a very powerful force in the world. But beautifully, the narration continues. And then the Prophet ﷺ continues and he says, so, and here's where, you know, the key point is, so, when you take a ritual bath, wash well. When you take a ritual bath, wash well. Highlighting that a key shield against one of the major dark forces in the world around us is to maintain a state of purity. One of the key shields for the one of the key major dark forces in the world around us is to maintain a state of purity. So this goes back to this foundational principle of the importance of maintaining purity in order to be able to protect ourselves against things that are harmful. Now, sometimes I'll speak with people, and this comes up a lot. People will contact me, and they'll say, A, B, and C negative thing is happening in my life, or sometimes it'll say with my kids or with my spouse or whatever it might be. And I think this is due to the evil eye. And the answer is yes. Or whatever, we can affirm. I don't know if that would be the answer, but we can affirm and we can say, certainly it's possible that this could be due to the evil eye. But what's the treatment? The treatment is to maintain a state of purity. Why? Because when a person maintains a state of purity, negative things, negative forces, shaitan, the evil eye, and all of the other negativity that exists in the world around us, it's very difficult for those things to take hold in the face of purity. It's very difficult for those things to take hold in the face of purity. And this is one of the very central principles of, you know, the Muslims universally. They are people of purity. And when I say purity, I mean a very broad purity. So we learn the appropriate way to preserve the purity of our clothing. We learn and practice the appropriate way to maintain the purity of our bodies, particularly after using the restroom. We learn and maintain the appropriate way to maintain the purity of our food, particularly by eating halal and making sure that the income that we earn in order to be able to provide food is halal. We maintain the purity, just as an example, we maintain the purity of our eyes by lowering our gaze. We maintain the purity of our ears by turning away from backbiting and speaking ill or negative about others. We maintain the purity of our minds by protecting our eyes and our ears to ensure that what goes into our eyes and ears, which eventually gets fed to our minds and hearts, remains pure. We maintain the purity of our wealth by giving zakah, which essentially is a removal of the impure of our wealth in order to maintain the purity of the rest of it. The word zakah, literally, it's derived from this concept of purity. So as a whole, one of the major underlying themes of our deen is a concept of purity. And this purity does two things. Number one, it protects us against the ill effects that exist in the world around us. And number two, it creates the positive foundation, or it creates the foundation upon which a positive experience can be built and developed. In fact, there's a general principle of our deen, which my recollection is that it's a narration, and that is that purity is the foundation of salah. Purity is the foundation of salah, meaning if you ask yourself the question, how can I make my salah better? How can I strengthen my salah? How can I deepen my salah? How can I gain the true experience that all these pious predecessors before us used to derive from salah? The answer would be, start with purity. Ensure that the body's pure, the clothing's pure, ideally the heart and mind are pure, and inshallah, you won't be too far from attaining the depths of salah itself. And same with the Qur'an. Same with any engagement in our deen. Purity is a huge component of what we're trying to achieve. And maybe even this is the meaning of the statement of the Prophet ﷺ that purity is half of faith. Everybody has heard this statement. Purity is half of faith because purity is the foundation upon which positive engagements are developed, and purity is the shield that protects us against the negative influences around the world. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us pure. May He make us amongst those who are able to benefit from the positive experiences, and may He shield us from those negative forces that are present in the world. وَآخُرَ الدَّعْوَانَ أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ